All television and radio stations in the United States will now cease their regular programming.
After being summoned to the Oval Office for what was expected to be a photo op with Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, members of the White House press corps were surprised to see former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger was sitting with the president instead of Lavrov. Kissinger's visit to the White House fell one day after President Trump fired FBI Director James Comey for not doing a good job amid an ongoing investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election, and Henry Kissinger is the author of the 2014 book, World Order, and on page 231, Kissinger wrote in World Order, "For the Pyongyang regime, that's North Korea, abandoning nuclear weapons may well involve political disintegration, but abandonment is precisely what the U.S. and China have publicly demanded in the United Nations resolutions that they have fostered. The two countries need to coordinate their policies for the contingency that their stated objectives are realized. Will it be possible to merge the concerns and goals of the two sides over Korea? Are China and the United States able to work out a collaborative strategy for a denuclearized, unified Korea that leaves all parties more secure and more free?" And remember what Zbigniew Brzezinski, author of the Grand Chessboard, said about a month ago, that if the United States and China cooperate over North Korea is what he's talking about. Before the crisis even really broke out, he already knew, because they are the tacticians of this plan for a new world order. And look at what Brzezinski said in the interview. If the United States and China cooperate, then Russia will have no choice but to join the skeletal structure of this one world system. Richard Haass, president of the CFR, also talks over and over again about a unified Korean peninsula. It's a bargaining chip to merge the United States and China, which, as Brzezinski says, will give Russia no choice but to join. So look at what Brzezinski says, look at what Richard Haass says, and now look at what Henry Kissinger says, who was just in the White House today. Again, will it be possible to merge the concerns and goals of the two sides over Korea, the United States and China, merge them together? Are China and the United States able to work out a collaborative strategy for a denuclearized, unified Korea that leaves all parties more secure and more free? It would be a big step toward the new type of great power relations so often invoked and so slow in emerging. He's talking about the New World Order there. And in 1992, Eustace Mullins, author of Secrets of the Federal Reserve, came out with a book called The World Order as well. And on page 2, it reads, "When minions of the world order, such as Henry Kissinger, call for collective security, what they're really seeking is a protective order behind which they can safely carry out their depredations against all mankind. This was very reluctantly identified by President George Bush after months of dodging questions about the New World Order, which he had publicly called for, when he finally stated it really was a United Nations peacekeeping force. This took us back to the Second World War, which produced the United Nations. Walter Millis in Road to War, America, 1914 to 1917, further removed this program to the First World War when he wrote The Colonel's Edward Mandel House, that is to say, sole justification for preparing such a bath of blood for his countrymen was his hope of establishing a new world order of peace and security as a result. Note the call for security. Once again, this is the cry of the international criminals for protection as they carry out their universal work of sabotage and destruction. Random House Dictionary tells us that the United Nations was created in Washington January 2, 1942, when 26 nations allied against the Axis, or fascist powers. In the American language, H.L. Mencken says that President Roosevelt coined the term United Nations in conference with Prime Minister Winston Churchill at the White House in December of 1941. And remember the post-war New World Order map that we've looked over many times? That's how Brexit figures into this. Notice that the British Commonwealth is separate from the so-called United States of Europe. There you have it on this post-war New World Order map. Take it as hypothetical if you want to, but it fits the current formulation of the One World political system that we see going on now. It will not emerge officially until the woe of the fifth trumpet, because you have to have the supernatural ingredient, Daniel's fourth beast. Remember that the political beast has 10 horns, which are 10 fallen angel kings that reign 1 hour with the beast, as we know from Revelation chapter 17. So Daniel's fourth beast is exclusively supernatural, made up of Satan and his angels who are cast from heaven unto the earth at the woe of the fifth trumpet. So in December of 1941, on the eve of the Pearl Harbor attack, which manipulated us into World War II, Roosevelt coined the term United Nations in conference with Prime Minister Winston Churchill at the White House in December of 1941. The United Nations became an active entity at the Dumbarton Oaks Conference in 1944 when Great Britain, the United States, and Russia set it in motion as a financial dictator, Russia being the bear of Daniel chapter 7, along with all the non-Christian nations, the Islamic as well. Remember that Esau married one of the daughters of Ishmael all the way back in the book of Genesis. If the United Nations was created to fight fascism, its mission ended in 1945 when fascism was defeated by military force. Fascism derives its name from the bundle of rods which ancient Roman officials carried into court to punish offenders. Thus, fascism historically means law and order, the rule of law. And as you know from the Daniel 11 hypothesis, if you're familiar with that, I believe the United Nations to be the great horn of the he-goat that's written of in Daniel chapter 8. Whenever that great horn is broken, and remember that horns are symbolic of power, then the woe of the fifth trumpet will transpire. And this he-goat and the great horn thereof are the same thing that you can read of in Daniel chapter 11, where the great horn of the he-goat, which I believe to be the United Nations, is written of in Daniel chapter 11, verse 20, one who sends out a raiser of taxes, and I believe that to be the global carbon tax. Think global whenever you're talking about the book of Revelation or Daniel, and you'll have a better idea of what God would have you know with those books, Daniel being an overlay of the book of Revelation. You also want to bear in mind that Eustace Mullins also said that the Rothschilds invented fascism, communism, Nazism, and Zionism all in Germany in 1830, and there's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them, 1830 being the same year that Adam Weishaupt, the original Illuminati architect, died in 1830, and the rapture theory came around in 1830 as well through a mentally ill teenage Scottish girl, leading me to believe that the first trumpet of Revelation chapter 8 began to sound in 1830, going up to 1913 when the second trumpet began to sound, in 1913 when the Federal Reserve came into being, 1830 being the first trumpet, that is to say the hidden dynasty of education being implemented, and then you have in 1913 the hidden dynasty of economics, obviously, with the Federal Reserve System, the American dollar being the global currency. Think globally, then you had the first two world wars from 1914 to 1945, which is when the United Nations came into being, the great horn of the he-goat of Daniel chapter 8. That's the political, and the religious is obviously 1948 when the State of Israel came into being. Kenite-occupied Israel, beginning this final generation, the generation of the fig tree. And that brings us up to 1969, which I believe to be the year in which the fifth angel began to sound, which would have brought about the hour of temptation, but it was stopped, as we know from Revelation chapter 7. Where in verse 1 you see four angels standing on the four corners of the earth holding the four winds of the earth, and the four winds is always speaking of that 5-month-long hour of temptation, as you can see from Daniel chapter 7. The four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and then four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another, speaking of the one world political system which emerges at the woe of the fifth trumpet, also in Daniel chapter 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. Again, I believe this to be the United Nations, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven, talking about the woe of the fifth trumpet. So in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, you see these four angels holding the four winds of the earth. They're about to release those four winds, bringing about the hour of temptation, which is a 5-month period, beginning with the woe of the fifth trumpet. So they're holding the four winds of the earth that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. So once these four winds are released, then the woe of the fifth trumpet transpires, with Satan and his angels being cast from heaven unto the earth, and the five-month-long hour of temptation begins. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So until that's accomplished, the woe of the fifth trumpet is on hold. Five means grace in biblical numerics, and we're in a grace period that ends upon the woe of the fifth trumpet. And to properly translate Revelation chapter 8, verse 13, And I beheld and heard an eagle, not an angel, but an eagle, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Speaking of the three woe trumpets, and the woe of the fifth trumpet is when Satan and his angels are cast from heaven unto the earth. Notice the eagle there, and the eagle has landed is what was famously said in 1969, marking that year as the benchmark, and politically it was made known who the superpower of superpowers was, the first one to get to the moon. And for more on that, you can check out the video called The Apollo 11 Enigma, where I go into more detail on that topic. But to continue with The World Order by Eustace Mullins, on page 2, if the United Nations was created to fight fascism, its mission ended in 1945. Then he goes on to say, thus fascism historically means law and order, the rule of law, and the intent to punish criminals. This, of course, is what the conspirators of the world order wish to avoid at all costs. Speaking of the Kenites, the sons of Cain there, the conspirators of the world order, those who formulate the one world political system that will emerge at the woe of the fifth trumpet. The Oxford English Dictionary defines fascism as one of a body of Italian nationalists which was organized in 1919 to oppose communism in Italy. Other definitions state simply that the fascists were organized to fight Bolshevism. Thus, the UN essentially was set up to battle against anti-communists, as exemplified by Germany, Italy, and Japan. And again, the Rothschilds, the head Kenites, created fascism, Nazism, communism, and Zionism all in 1830 in Germany. And when this goal was successful in 1945, the United Nations no longer had a historic mission. Nevertheless, it continued to function, and the Rockefellers donated the most expensive parcel of real estate in Manhattan for its world headquarters. It was against this background that the governor of New York, Nelson Rockefeller, addressed a meeting at the Sheridan Park Hotel on July 26, 1968, in which he called for the creation of a new world order. Rockefeller ignored the fact that it was Hitler who had preempted this title as My New Order for Europe. You can even see old footage of FDR talking about Hitler's plan for a new world order. The phrase was an attractive one to our politicians, as President Bush revealed when he addressed Congress on September 11, 1990 in a speech carried nationally on television in which he called for a new world, a world quite different from the one we have known, a new world order, a one world political system. That's what they're talking about, and it's yet future to this very day. At the woe of the fifth trumpet, it shall emerge from the sea, which is symbolic of the peoples of the world, having seven heads and 10 horns, those 10 horns being 10 fallen angel kings. So Satan and his angels, the locust army, have to be cast from heaven unto the earth in order for the new world order to emerge. He continued to reiterate this demand in subsequent addresses on television, declaring on January 29th, 1991, in his annual State of the Union address, it is a big idea, a new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in common to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom and the rule of law. He repeated this tocsin on February 1, 1991 in 3 separate addresses on the same day, in which he emphasized the New World Order call. He modestly refrained from pointing out that it was not a new phrase and that it had been adopted by Congress in 1782. For the Great Seal of the United States, the incomplete pyramid with its occult eye and the phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum, identifying this nation as committed to a new world order or a new order for the ages, which apparently depended upon pyramid power for its fulfillment. This symbol, dated from 1776, when Adam Weishaupt, founder of the Illuminati sect, formulated a program remarkably similar to that of the World Order conspiracies today. And again, Weishaupt died in 1830, which was when the plan was rolled out. Weishaupt called for abolition of all monarchies and all ordered governments, abolition of private property and inheritances, abolition of patriotism and nationalism, abolition of family life and the institution of marriage, and the establishment of communal education for children. There's your hidden dynasty of education, which began in 1830. And finally, abolition of all religion, leading up to that one world religious system, which emerges after the deadly wound when Satan appears in Jerusalem as the false Christ. That's what this is all leading up to. 666, that is to say the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial, which is when Satan appears in Jerusalem as the false Christ. It was hardly accidental that the Rothschilds, when they hired Karl Marx and the League of Just Men to formulate a program, received the Communist Manifesto of 1848, which contained the above formula. Weishaupt's activists, the Illuminati, had taken over the Freemason movement in 1782, which then became one of the vehicles for the enactment of this program. Its true origin in ancient Oriental despotism was revealed on the editorial page of the Washington Post, January 5, 1992, when philosopher Nathan Gardels warned that the ideal area for the New World Order would be China, not the United States. Gardels points out that Marxism was a product of Western philosophy, i.e. Hegel, as in the Hegelian dialectic, but that a world order would produce Oriental despotism. He supported his thesis with quotes from the Japanese Prime Minister, who complained that abstract notions of human rights should not interfere with foreign policy, and from Chinese leaders, who denounced demands for independent liberty as garbage. And you'll notice quite a bit written of in Henry Kissinger's book, World Order, about Asia in both chapters 5 and 6. Chapter 5 is called The Multiplicity of Asia, and chapter 6 is called Toward an Asian Order, Confrontation or Partnership, which sounds a lot like the title of one of Zbigniew Brzezinski's books, The Choice, Global Leadership or Global Domination. So don't be deceived, it will be America that will lead the world into this one world political system once Satan and his angels are cast from heaven unto the earth. The Christian nations, headed by the United States, are the lion of Daniel chapter 7. The idea now is to use North Korea to merge the United States and China, giving Russia no choice but to join the one world political system. Actually, the skeletal structure thereof, technically, but it will become that one world political system written of in Revelation 13, as well as Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 11. Zbigniew Brzezinski said as much in an interview with Russian media about a month ago. If the United States and China cooperate, Russia will have no choice but to join. There you have it, and if you look at the last page of the grand chessboard, you see that that's always been the plan. American primacy and its geostrategic imperatives is the subtitle of the grand chessboard. President Bush modestly pointed out one of his aides, General Brent Scowcroft, as the author of the magical phrase, New World Order. And Scowcroft has even co-authored books with Brzezinski. As you can see, if you look into it, Scowcroft and Brzezinski. People magazine, November 25th, 1991, said Scowcroft's influence first became evident last year, several weeks after Iraq's invasion of Kuwait. Again, while fishing, he and Bush came up with the idea of a new world order, an ambitious phrase meant to suggest a new United States foreign policy in the post-Cold War era. Who is Scowcroft in Washington? He has been known for years as one of Henry Kissinger's ubiquitous lackeys, coming to prominence when he served Kissinger on the National Security Council. He then joined the firm of Kissinger Associates, of which he became the president. And in 1991, Parade magazine on December 15th said, Brent Scowcroft, 66, is a highly regarded military strategist who has never been tarred by the brush of scandal. Yes, men rarely venture into scandalous situations. And again, check out the books that Scowcroft co-authored with Zbigniew Brzezinski. These are the top tacticians of the one world political system, the New World Order. The Kenites and their co-religionists carrying out the negative part of God's plan, formulating the one world political system through the four hidden dynasties of education, economics, politics, and religion, until finally, at the woe of the fifth trumpet, Satan and his angels will be cast from heaven unto the earth, and the new world order will emerge. Then it receives a deadly wound, and then Satan appears as the false Christ in Jerusalem. Then it goes from being a one-world political system to a one-world religious system, and then, immediately after that five-month-long hour of temptation, the true Christ shall return at the woe of the seventh trumpet. So understand the three woe trumpets, and you'll have no problem in understanding the hour of temptation. Everything you see going on in the world has to do with building toward the New World Order.